This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Well, there will be no guttural yell this morning, that is for sure, but you will get your pals, Ben and Woods. Good morning, everybody. Good to be here with you on a Tuesday morning. Short week for us. Hope everybody had a fantastic Labor Day. Wanted to start the show by sending out some well wishes to Jason Adam. Obviously, a really scary moment on the mound yesterday out at Petco Park. Jason's a really, really good dude. Had a chance to meet and talk to his wife before. Couldn't meet a sweeter person. Got a lot of kids. You know, really sad. I was watching the Instagram last night. All the kids made little cards for him when he got home. It was the sweetest thing you've ever seen. So super bummed for him. The guy has gone through so much in his career to get here and to be a force in the Padres bullpen, a piece, you know, one finger of the fist, if you will, and he's going to be out for the foreseeable future. And just wanted to start the show by wishing him well and, you know, try to get the vibes back on track here in San Diego as it pertains to the Padres. But in this room, vibes are okay, I'd say. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Paulie, how are your vibes?
Hey, how are you?
Well.
Vibes are good.
Vibes are fine. I'm kind of over the word vibes, by the way. We've kind of burned through it. We need a new word. Benjamin, how are your vibes, your feelings,
yeah, I mean,
your feels?
It's all right, you know. Like, we do your let aura. Our baseball team affect our moods, yeah, probably more than we should.
Sure.
So no one's having the greatest time this past weekend. It was,
yeah, terrible.
It was rough. It was absolutely rough. And we will talk about it. And I'm not going to be the guy who says everything's okay. It's not. There's definitely reason for concern. It's also not time to panic yet, would
right
be what I would also say. We're in concern level, but don't hit the panic button yet.
Threat level midnight, though. You know, you're on the cusp here, and really what it boils down to is you can't afford to lose anybody else on your team. Your team already wasn't playing great at full strength, and now you've lost some key pieces. You may be getting one back, but you are getting one back, but how's that going to go? There's a lot to talk about, a lot. I mean, in a perfect world, the entire audience would say, no. We don't want to hear about it. Let's just move forward. Let's have some fun today. I don't think that's going to fly. It is important we address, you know, just the really bad play of the San Diego Padres over the last week.
Since we last left you at 10 a.m. on Friday, I mean, Xander Bogaerts is also out.
Correct.
Like, that happened over the weekend.
Yep, he's out.
They lost three out of four.
Tatis went down.
He's still banged up. I mean, it's... Oof.
Yeah, it's a rough one. It's definitely a rough
one.
Not
a good weekend.
Not a good weekend at all. I mean, personally, the weekends, how was everyone's weekend personally? Minus, you know, take the baseball out of it. I didn't have a great sports weekend, other than LAFC getting their ass kicked by SDFC, which was literally the only sports highlight of the weekend for me, other than the blowout Padres victory. But I expected that. That's what you do against a crappy team like the Twins, right? You do that. You should do that against a crappy team like the Orioles. You didn't. You haven't. The days of the easy schedule bit, those are gone. There are no easy schedules. Every team's going to play you tough. And but I had a bad sports weekend other than SDFC.
I will say I really, really enjoyed having some college football on this weekend. Like,
I did not.
Sorry. Yeah, that's
I know. For Woods either.
I even enjoyed
Woods
watching that game. I understand that you didn't. But, man, it's been over the last couple of years. I think I've fully embraced, whether it's professional or college, not really having an attachment to any team in particular.
Yeah.
But the product on television is pretty elite.
Yeah, just enjoying the ride, so to speak, of
to not
college football.
Really have a dog in any of the fights, but just to watch, like, Red Zone on Sundays, was bouncing around, whether it was Ohio State and Texas, which was great on Saturday morning.
I mean, was it great? All the games that they blew up, none of them were really that good. It was way overhyped. None of the games were that fantastic. I mean, really?
Your game was actually really
probably
good.
It was really
Miami Notre Dame game was terrific.
I thought Ohio State. It was a defensive game, but
I didn't mind seeing.
Nobody wanted that.
I didn't mind seeing Arch Manning kind of stub his toe in his debut for Texas
right
at all.
Right. Yeah.
Why do you hate Arch Manning? What did he do?
Yeah, I've never been a giant fan of the Manning family.
I loathe the Mannings, but I like that kid. I like that kid. You know, it's weird.
Plus, you know, he was going up against the local product, the kid from Carlsbad,
true.
Julian Sands. So I was happy to see that on Saturday morning.
Yeah, I can't root for Ohio State. I don't care where the guy came from. There's just no chance. But it's weird. You know, how many college football games they play now? 12?
Yeah, 12 and then conference championships and then the playoffs. So, you can get up to like 16.
The weirdest thing ever. I did yell out one big expletive after the game, just to get it out. The F word, loud. Because the Irish completely crapped their pants on the last, they had a minute left and they looked like they'd never played football before. So I got it out. But throughout the game, I was mostly pretty calm and I thought to myself, bro, you only have, you know, 12 of these, 10, 11, whatever. Like, these are the games you should be. I'm more mad at the Padres that are every day. It doesn't make sense. I've flipped how it kind of should be. I'm watching baseball like football, and I'm watching football like you should watch baseball.
It's weird because, with 12 games versus 162, the Padres losing three of their last four is like losing one, like, seventh of a game in football.
Right, man, we had a bad half a quarter.
That's all that is in football, but, you know, in college football, you lose one game. That's. You're now up against it. Because the college football playoffs 12, you know, is 12 teams now, you're not out of it. Notre Dame came back from losing to Northern Illinois last year, still made the playoffs. So your season's not over, but you don't have a lot of more mistakes that you can go to the rest of the year.
The other thing that's totally weird is that I look at my head coach, I go, I don't care, I forgive you. Bad play calling, guys weren't ready to play. I don't care. I love you. I forgive you. Doesn't work that way in baseball all the time. You're like, what are you doing, Shilty? Come on. God. I'm screaming at the television yesterday. My hair is falling out over this baseball team. But we will get into all that. Other than that, though, like, sports aside, how did it go?
I saw an alligator.
What?
Yeah.
Where?
I saw an alligator at Goat Hill Park. A real live alligator.
Did not know that was a thing.
It's not usually. In fact, Goat Hill doesn't even have any water hazards. So it's not like Florida where you sometimes see alligators on golf courses.
Was this an exhibit and like a
So I went
lizard
on Saturday.
Guy was out there.
They had the grass.
Lizard Expo.
They were playing the $100,000 par 3 grass league tournament this weekend at Goat Hill. So I went and checked it out. I mentioned I was going to go last week. So I went for a couple of hours to watch some of the local guys who are competing in the tournament.
Paige Spearman.
And she was doing some of the broadcasting and commentary. And the franchises. So it's kind of like a live model where there's like franchises and teams. There's owners somewhere. I don't really totally understand how it works, but one of them was like the Florida Swamp somethings, and they brought their mascot.
Pass,
and I'm walking
man.
Around, and no. all of a sudden I see an alligator on a leash.
Oh my God.
It had its, I felt bad. It had its snout like taped shut so it couldn't eat small children that were walking by. But it was just sitting there calmly. I thought, is that real? And then all of a sudden I looked and it was twitching a little bit. Like, okay. I gave it a wide berth and just walked around it.
I am so beyond terrified of gators.
It was like 7 feet long. It was.
I am beyond.
I was definitely.
Beyond.
I was definitely a little unnerved by being that close. So there was no fence or anything.
Just
it was just
walking
under,
around like a pop-up cocker
tent.
Spaniel.
It was just under a pop-up tent to give it a little shade, and it was just sitting there quietly as people were kind of buzzing
worse.
All around with one guy, looked like Florida man, holding it on a leash.
Is it worse? Would it be worse to see an alligator on a leash than in the wild? I feel like on a leash, it's creepier to me. I don't know why. Like,
it was creepy.
I'm terrified of the man walking him.
Yeah.
I was also terrified. That's well. Oh, you got your pet alligator. Okay.
All right. Well, see you later.
Big gulps, huh?
Oh, well, God. See you later. The scariest thing I've ever heard. I don't blame you. I would have run so fast. I would have been like, John, you didn't warn me. John Ashworth, that there's gators here.
Gonna be an alligator.
Man,
there was a band, concert, stage. I mean, they had food trucks. It was pretty wild. And then Will Kropp, who's the pro, the young pro out at Goat Hill Park, he teamed up with someone and was on one of the teams. They won.
That's awesome.
So huge payday for Will. Congratulations to him. And that was fun. That was kind of my one activity other than sports watching this weekend. But did see an alligator in San Diego, which is rare if you're not at the zoo or the safari park.
We had, obviously, big sports weekend at home. Bo plays football and baseball. Played football Friday Night Lights. They won. It was great. So much fun to win those games and watch how hard they play. And then baseball rolls around on Sunday morning, 9 a.m. game. First game ever with his 8U select team. And they're scrimmaging my pal, Coach Kurt, over from Frozen Ropes. Now, Bo was in the Frozen Ropes program. I said, Coach Kurt, I love you. We've got this thing going in Encinitas. That's 5 minutes from my house. And you're in 4S Ranch. Great facility. Great coaching. Awesome. But we're going to keep it. I need it to be close, that's right? Fine. All this homies.
I think anyone can understand that.
So they've been working so hard. They get their unis, their baby blue unis. They look incredible. They all show up to the field. And I'm looking around at the kids. And I got a little misty-eyed. Because all these dudes I've known since they were four, they were babies. And it was just a couple years ago, you know, that Bo played his very first T-ball game for the Tin Caps. And I showed him a picture that morning. I go, look at this, dude. Look how big you are. Look how much better you've gotten. He goes, oh, my God. I go, that was just 2 years ago. Get out to the field, watching them warm up. It's hotter than fish grease out there. It is roasting. We played at SDA. And third inning, he comes in to pitch for the very first time ever. And I am nauseous. I mean, I'm as nauseous as it can get. Walks the first guy. Walks the second guy. Pass ball. They both advance. Second and third, nobody out. So I'm watching him. Now, he's as most seven-year-olds are, they're searching for their confidence. They're searching for their belief in themselves. And he's pretty hard on himself. He really is. Lately, too, really hard on himself. And I watched him kind of put his mouth into his glove and, like, talk to himself. Punchy. Punchy, punchy, gets the next three guys, strands runners at second and third, no runs scored. I was like, I told Hannah, I go, I'm going to remember that for the rest of my life. That was one of the cooler moments I've ever seen. I was very proud of him. He was very proud of himself, as he should have been. And his team ended up winning. They had a great time doing it. He got a knock, two strikes, RBI. Like, he was just elated, and you could see him brimming. In fact, he was brimming so much yesterday. I was like, you're brimming kind of like a little a-hole. You need to remember your manners. He was like you would have, he was like, he just signed a big deal. He's like, hey, Dad, water. I'm like, hey, good for you that you got the side, but like, A, it's not always going
to
be that way.
Do you think the Padres want me to start filling in for
Dude,
Jason Adams?
Correct.
Now?
Yeah. He's like, Dad, water now. What's happening? And I'm like, whoa. You had one inning pitch, bro. Relax, number one. You're going to get your teeth kicked in at some point. Don't forget to say please and thank you. I loved that he got his swag back, but it was great. And at one point yesterday, so all his homies are down at our house. We are now that house. This is not hyperbole. I'm in the kitchen, and I'm making a delicious meatloaf for my family. So I got the onions cooking. I got the ketchup and the Worcestershire sauce in the bowl.
What do you use as the binding?
Egg and breadcrumbs.
Breadcrumbs.
So okay. I got the whole thing.
Seasoned breadcrumbs?
Seasoned breadcrumbs. Okay, so I got everything ready to go. I got the pan out. I'm standing at the sink, and I look over, and there's one of the neighborhood kids. He just walks in my garage door, to the pantry, grabs a Nutri-Grain bar, walks out. I go, what the? I go, my man Luca. I go, what is this? 2 seconds later, two more kids that I didn't even know were outside walk in. Hey, how you doing? Open the pantry, grab a sleeve of saltines. And I go, what is happening? Two more kids. After that, they walk in. They're like, what do you got? I go, this is not a grocery store, nor is it a convenience store. I go, what is that? Hannah! What is happening right now? They cleaned me out. I went to the grocery store yesterday. I got a new box of premium saltines, fresh stacks. So there's about 15 of the little ones.
Yeah. Like, hey, those are mine.
Six are gone. I have like three left in the box. I go, there's cracker wrappers everywhere. There's water bottles outside. I walk out, I'm like, what do you guys think this is? It's not a food pantry. You don't have to just come in and help yourself.
You have your own families and your own pantries and your own parents.
You guys live across the street. Go to his house. It was all I kept thinking about too, Paulie, was what my dad would have done if me and six of my friends were like, hey, what's up? And then just started pillaging.
He brings out receipts.
Yeah.
So I get if there's like only one house that has
the junk, good snacks.
Junk food.
Right.
You got like gummy bears. You got like
Red Snickers
Vines,
bars.
And,
yeah.
and they come over there because they've got nothing but healthy food. If they're coming over for saltines and Nutri-Grain bars,
Nutri-Grain.
What's at their houses?
No kidding.
How bad is the scene at their houses that they need to come to your house for saltines?
I'm telling you, Alicia says, wait till they're teenagers. I don't know that I can do it. I've read the stories about Rob Gronkowski's dad that go. I think they had four boys. They had four boys. They built a big warehouse in their backyard, and they go, you guys live here. And so they literally have their own warehouse. He said, I buy somewhere between – we got to find it. He goes, I buy like 40 gallons of milk a week between these four absolute clowns that live back there, 25 dozen eggs a week. They just go through it. Somebody in the chat, Christy, said, we got a couple pantry raccoons in our neighborhood, too. Pantry raccoons is the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Have you gotten to the point, because I do most of the grocery shopping.
I do all of it.
All the grocery shopping. Do you ever hide anything?
Mm-mm.
I've gotten to the point one or two things that I would like for myself.
You and my dad, look at you.
They can't go in the pantry because they'll be gone before I even get a chance at them.
It's unbelievable. My dad used to do the same.
You got to hide something
every
once in a while.
You're unbelievable.
It's not unbelievable.
You're unbelievable.
All right, stop. I think this is very, very normal and understandable.
What do you hide?
Usually some sort of treat item.
Like what?
All right, so I love, from Costco, the dried sweetened mango slices.
Okay.
Like the dried. But then I'll bring them, and if I put them in the pantry.
They're gone.
And like one day later, they're like open, torn through, and
there's
like 90% of them are gone.
Through
they're
there.
Just gone. The kids both love them.
They both like them.
And I will share. I'm happy to share. But if I don't make it explicitly clear that I want some of these.
There's two for you.
I want to be the one who opens it and has my first pick of, you know, three or four pieces of dried mango. It's like a little treat for me at the end of the day. And if I go in there and it's already gone before I've even had a chance at it, I'm kind of mad. So I just thought, okay, I've just got to find different places to hide it behind things like.
You're unbelievable. You're hiding food from your children. That's what you're doing.
My children, yes.
You're like a Coke dealer. What you need to do is be like a Coke dealer. Little baggies. Okay. Jack, Graham, this is your allotment. Don't do any more than this.
Tevin knows. He says those mangoes are the best. Yeah. They got to be the sweetened ones, though. I don't like the unsweetened ones. I know they're not that healthy for you. They're a treat. They're my dessert. That's what I like, you know, at the end of the day.
Man, my dad, we used to find, he had this, I'll never forget it. It was a red, white, and blue leather gym bag. It looked like something Rocky would have carried to the gym. It was leather. And he hid it down in the basement. And when we found his stash, you'd go in there, there'd be little Debbie zebra bars and the little nut crunch ones. And my brother would be like, hey, an apple. He loved the apple, like Danish things. It was all little Debbie. So he would hide everything from us. Because same thing, we would get through it. I don't hide anything. Hannah does. Hannah's a hider. She hides little brownies and things all around the house. All around the house, by the way. And I don't do it. I just go buy the food, and if they want to eat it, great. But I'm feeding seven kids right now. I'm feeding my two and then the five neighborhood kids. So I'm feeding seven children, you know, on a radio host salary. It's not it's not the best thing that you can do. But, I mean, it was like out of a movie. I think I was washing up the dishes I think I just got everything in the pan. So washing the meatloaf off my hands and like cleaning the dishes. And I just glanced to the right and there's Luca in my pantry. Shuts the door, leaves. Then here comes.
Who are Luca's parents?
Mark and Flavia.
All right, you need to make a point. One day you need to walk over to Mark's house. Just walk in. Walk into his pantry. Grab something. And
how we doing?
Walk out.
It's just
like,
leave.
I thought this is what we were doing now in the neighborhood.
Now listen.
A cracker for a cracker.
I told Hannah, I go, I'm having fun with it because it's funny as hell. I mean, it was the picture of them like, hey, how you doing, Mr. Woods? What? They don't say that. Hey, how you doing, Steve? They walk in, they grab, and then they just leave. And then another kid.
I was
going to
ask
what
they call you.
I get Steven, and I get Bo's dad.
Hi, Bo's dad.
Hi, Bo's dad.
Yeah.
And
Mr.
I'm sitting there, and I'm like, and then you hear the garage open again. And then my nephew Liam walks in, and he's like, oh, I don't want that, but I do want those saltines. I'm like, more saltines. Everyone's eating sleeves of saltines out in the yard. It was hysterical. It was absolutely hysterical. But I told Hannah, I go, you know, at the end of the day, That makes me very, it makes me very happy. I said, it's great material. I said, but it makes me happy that everybody feels comfortable enough to come in here. It really does. So, you know, count your blessings, I think. I think that's a blessing.
We need to get this show on the road, as it were. Kind of a hybrid Monday-Tuesday show coming off the holiday weekend. I will set the menu for you in a couple of minutes right after we get Kelly's first check of traffic coming out of the holiday weekend here on 97.3 The Fan.
Dude, you want to talk about weird vibes? I was thrown for a curveball there in the middle of that last segment we just did. My wife texts me. She's getting in the car and heading off to work. And she texts me. She goes, somebody broke into my car and went through all of our stuff. And I go, what? Like, are you okay? Because that's happened twice to me, I think, in my life. It's like a jarring,
violating
feeling.
Yeah.
To know that somebody else went through your stuff. Now, they didn't take anything and they didn't trash it. She said, I had a couple of jackets in there. They're accounted for. My work badge. Like, everything's good. They were just looking for money. She didn't have any in there hiding or anything like that.
Did they break in?
I think she left it unlocked.
Yeah, which I've done.
Is it a low-key insult that you didn't have anything worth stealing?
No, it's really smart. You keep all the valuables out.
She said she has a new bag that she keeps her keys in, and the fob sometimes does not register when you try to go to lock your door or whatever when you get out. And so she's like, I must have walked in and just totally forgot about it. Could have been Friday night, for all we know, Saturday night. But yeah, she got in. She goes, oh, crap.
Feel
creeped
out.
That's disgusting. I hate it.
When I was, this is probably 25 years ago, woke up, went out to the garage. It's one of those detached garages. Yeah. We lived in an apartment complex in Carmel Valley. Car just wasn't there. Like, we left it in the garage the night before. It was just gone.
Shut your
And they said,
hole.
Yeah, the thieves go around. They have the garage door, like, signal frequencies.
Oh,
they try to open them, and one of them opens. They just steal the car in the middle of the night.
You've had your car stolen?
Had our car stolen.
I've never heard this before.
Yeah. My mom had our car stolen when I was in high school.
Wow.
Terrifying. They took it out of our apartment. They drove it to, like, they just joyride. They found it, like, behind a local restaurant.
You don't even want them to find it at some point. You just want the pay. I think ours was found months later in Mexico, but it was
Holy
too late. We had already got reimbursed for it.
Oh, I had a buddy. Yeah. His motorcycle got stolen, and he had, like, GPS tracking on it. And as soon as it went across the border, there's nothing we can do. He's like, I know exactly where it's at.
Sorry, buddy.
I can tell you exactly where it is. They're like, too bad.
It's gone.
Yeah, more Ben lore. On a Monday. I don't know. I never knew that
car
you got
stolen,
your car
stolen. Yeah,
what kind of car
long
was
ago.
It?
Accord.
That's Honda the Accord. Least surprising thing I've ever heard.
It's actually my wife's. But
They found it, but months later.
Yeah, months later. Mm. Somewhat destroyed.
That's creepy, though. Yeah. You just feel so creeped out.
Yeah, man. It's not a good feeling for sure. Sorry about that, Paulie, and for Megan as well. Quickly, coming up on the program, we'll get right into the Padres crap up. Tough weekend. We'll talk about the injuries, obviously. Jason Adam, I wish I had better news for you, but almost 100% lost for the season, and probably going to be a late start to next season as well. We'll get you updated on what happened with Jason yesterday. We, as I said, kind of a hybrid show. We are going to have Craig Elston joining us at 7:35, usually our Monday guest, but we want to talk not only Padres, but as you mentioned, the big SDFC win on Sunday night, 2-1 over LAFC, their seventh straight road win that ties an MLS record. First season. This team is incredible so far.
Unbelievable.
Leading the Western Conference, 1 point away from Philadelphia for the Supporter Shield Trophy. Talk to Craig at 7:35. We'll catch up with Dennis Lynn next Monday, give him the week off. But then at 8:35, it's still an Incorporator Tuesday, we'll have Jesse Agler joining us. He's always a great voice of reason when the rest of us are in panic mode. He's usually a voice that can calm us down a little bit. So Jesse will join us at 8:35, and we'll have all of our regular segments in and around that. Don't Do This, Take on Woods, Rindle Report, talk a little football as well from the college weekend that was all coming up. But first, Padres baseball. We'll get to the highlights. What went wrong yesterday in the 4-3 loss to the Baltimore Orioles. That's coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan. First, though, Woods and I want to tell you about trust and will to start the day. Hey, you never know what's coming. Unexpected things happen, not just car thefts, but unfortunately, you don't know what's going to happen with your own personal life. And if you don't have something written down for your family, you could be leaving them in a world of hurt when you're gone.
Yeah, the thing that I like about trustandwill.com is I never had to leave my house to do anything. I just had to log in. And once you do log in to trustandwill.com, use the code FAN when you check out, F-A-N, and they're going to give you 20% off, plus free shipping of your estate documents. You get it notarized, and you're good to go. It's an official document, and you can amend it as you go throughout the years. They keep it very, very simple for you. But that's what I love, the ease of use. BenTrustandWill.com.
You're trying to avoid probate court, which is a long, expensive, lengthy process. If you don't have a trust and you have like house and assets, the state's going to decide. It's going to cost your family a ton. All avoidable, again, simply by answering a few questions online and then using that code FAN at checkout. Get 20% off your legal documents at TrustandWill.com. That's TrustandWill.com. Quite a few moves since we last joined you on Friday morning, starting with Xander Bogaerts heading to the injured list with a non-displaced fracture in his left foot. Happened when he fouled a pitch off that foot on Wednesday in the last game of that series against the Minnesota Twins. We found out about it Friday afternoon before the series opener. So that one was against the Twins. Last game against the Mariners, found out about it before the Twins series. Padres called up Mason McCoy to take his spot on the roster and provide a little depth at shortstop. Then they activated Jackson Merrill from the IL yesterday when rosters expanded, and also added Sean Reynolds to the bullpen as rosters expanded. So you get two extra players in the month of September. And yes, the Padres did sign catcher Martin Maldonado to a minor league deal this weekend as injury insurance. He had, of course, been released and became a free agent, didn't have any takers on the major league level with other teams, so decided that I will rejoin the Padres organization, and if something happens to Elias Diaz or Freddie Fermin over this last month of the season, he would be the logical candidate now for the Padres to call up that's already familiar with the pitching staff. So he rejoins the organization, likely AAA for whatever season they've got left, and then just on standby in case they ever need a third catcher at any point the rest of the year.
I read somewhere, too, this is a guy they want to keep in the organization. And, you know, he's on the back one. He's on the 18th tee in his career, right? This is the last hole, per se. And barring anybody getting injured, this is a guy, though.
He might be on the 18th green.
He might be on the 18th green. Yeah, he may be walking in the clubhouse, to be honest with you, Benny. But
he just returned his cart.
He just picked up his ball. He's shaking his. He took his hat off. He's shaking his buddy's hands. But yes, a clear just-in-case move. But again, I did read this is a guy they want to keep around, and which is great. I think there's no question he would be a valuable piece of a coaching staff someday at any level. And that's what they've always talked about. The guy clearly knows baseball. You know, clearly knows baseball, clearly knows how to run a pitching staff, and all those guys had a lot of good things to say about him.
Of course, you also had the late scratch of Fernando Tatis Jr. from the lineup yesterday. Was in the original lineup filled out by Mike Schilt leading off, but then about an hour before game time, the Padres announced a revised lineup that did not include Fernando Tatis Jr. He did not appear in the game yesterday, according to Kevin Acey. Said Tatis wanted to play, but the team said no out of an abundance of caution after he came up with a bit of a tight, maybe hamstring, late in the game on Sunday.
Said it wasn't anything crazy, just one of those, it just grabs a little bit, and, you know, but again, it's a little bit concerning when he's in the lineup, then not in the lineup the next day.
And you see the Padres are dancing this very complicated dance now in the final month of the season where they have to balance the desire to play every game like it's a playoff game. You have to win as many games as possible if you're going to try to chase down the Dodgers, win the NL West, but you also don't want to have nothing left in the tank once you get to October and the playoff games that really matter. And if you push everyone too hard and you get too many injuries along the way, you're not going to really have a great opportunity to succeed in October. So it's a really difficult and complicated, you know, dance, I think, for A.J. Preller and Mike Schilt is how they're going to handle this month of September.
The numbers you read to me before the show regarding playoffs, right? So 90, what are they at right now?
They're still at 98%, okay. Some sort of 98 to 99%.
So I did see a little bit of like there's dooming and there's being upset. And I had some of that this weekend. I was pissed. You know, these are you know, you need to win Friday night's game and you need to beat Kyle Bradish yesterday. I don't know that I've ever, and honestly, I watch a lot of Padres baseball. I don't know if I've ever seen a pitcher more beatable than Kyle Bradish yesterday. Literally, 88 miles an hour, hanging, Manny's missing cookies. Everyone was, I'm like, guys, he is your dream to get back on track. Certainly not. Certainly not. And that was frustrating. But as far as, like, going for the division, all of that, I mean, I think you still have to run guys out there. I don't think, Ben, you said, though, the Reds, I saw dooming and the effect of, like, oh, we're not even going to make the playoffs. We're making the playoffs.
Yeah,
now, I don't know how good it's going to look when you get there.
So there's 24 games left. Padres are 2.5 games behind the Dodgers, 6 games ahead of the Cincinnati Reds, who, by the way, if they had not rallied in the ninth inning yesterday, they'd be 500. Padres are 14 games above 500.
Yeah.
A team that is essentially at 500, whether it's the Reds or the Giants, would have to catch the Padres for them not to make the playoffs. Is that possible? Yes. Padres would have to probably go like 6-18 in their last 24 games. And if they do that, doesn't matter if they make the playoffs or not. There's clearly so many things that have gone wrong.
You're dying.
That you would just be probably going 2-and-done in the playoffs anyway.
You look like the Braves last year.
Especially given the schedule, 7 games against the Rockies. If you're swept in those 7 games, could you miss the playoffs? Sure. If you are swept 7 games by the Rockies in September, doesn't even matter whether you make the playoffs or not. You have no hope in the postseason.
Correct.
So the Padres are very comfortably in a position where they should be playing in October. The question is, can they still have a chance at chasing down? Who are still much closer, remember, they're much closer to the Dodgers than the team chasing them, the Reds, to keep them out of the playoffs be. Now, you want to hold off the Mets. They're only a couple of games back now. If you want that fifth spot, of course, you're still starting on the road. The difference between the fifth and the sixth spot in the playoffs is very minimal in the postseason, so that's not a huge deal that you're worried about necessarily. But yeah, the Padres are still very comfortably on their way to the playoffs. And if they're not, then 17 other things went wrong between now and the end of the month, and it wouldn't matter anyway.
Very, very disappointing stretch. There's no other way to look at it. And, the soft part of the schedule, as everyone likes to say, it's hard for me to wrap my head around that. And again, this may make you feel better. It made me feel a little bit better. None of the good teams in baseball really want it right now. I mean, it's whether it's dog days of summer, whether it's injury, whatever it is. And I kind of chalk a lot of it up to these dudes are wiped. It was a really long August, very hot, road trips, all that. Fine. I'm going to give you a little bit of a breather there. But like I said, when you get back and you to come out Friday after a day off and play as poorly as they did Friday night, and we'll get to that game, that was disappointing. To not be able to absolutely butcher Kyle Bradish. Kyle Bradish should have walked out of there in a sling. Like, that's how bad that guy is and has been. The guy looked like a very serviceable starter. You can't keep continuing to make these 5-6 ERA guys, Ben, look like world beaters. We're not the only ones doing it. We are not the only ones doing it. What are those other teams you listed this morning to me before the show?
Dodgers lost their series to the Diamondbacks over the weekend.
Needed a walk-off.
Mets lost 3 of 4 to the Marlins. Reds lost their series to the Cardinals. Cubs, Brewers, and Phillies all lost on Sunday, games they probably should have won. Every National League playoff contender is kind of going through those dog days, as you said right now. The Padres aren't the only ones.
We're not.
If you're saying that the Padres, I look at them, they have no chance. Every other fan base is
feels
doing that right now.
The exact same way.
Someone's going to
get it.
Figure it out, click back in, and start playing some good baseball here at the end of the season. But right now, everybody is struggling at the moment. Who can get out of it fastest? Who can, lock in as they get closer to October? It's still September 1st. Remember, there's
second.
First playoff game, September 2nd. Yes. The first playoff game is September 31st, I believe.
Okay.
So you have 4 weeks. Lots.
You can get hot, 29 days.
You can get cold again. You can get hot again in 4 weeks. 4 weeks is actually quite a bit of time in a baseball season. So you don't necessarily want to be playing your best baseball of the year right now, but also you'd like to be trending in the right direction.
This is an interesting comment, and I cannot sit in here. I'm not going to call JWW crazy. I'm not. Not even by a long stretch. This just hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, well, we're kind of beyond the just get to the dance phase, no? As a season ticket holder, I'm already questioning whether or not it's worth it to opt in to the postseason ticket strip, which, by the way, is not cheap. Paulie and I were season ticket holders before. It's not a cheap ordeal. And if you're
you got to commit too.
It's a massive commitment.
Because it's like, hey, we'll just hold this money for next year.
Yes. And if you're looking at the way the team currently looks and is playing, you're like, they've made it difficult on you guys to make that decision. Obviously, you want to see your team in the playoffs, but holy smokes, not the way that they're playing. And they're not handling business right now, not even a little bit, man. And I don't know, you know, there's a billion different reasons you can give. Starting pitching has been such a letdown lately, such a letdown. The offense is, it's crazy. I think the way that we play baseball is very odd right now. I think the playing for one run constantly is nuts. I think we're the most predictable offense in baseball. I think Manny Machado's got to get it going, or we're cooked. There's so many things that would make me, if I was a season ticket holder too, go, I don't want to. If you're a Braves season ticket holder last year, you watch your team limp into the playoffs, knowing they got bodied. I don't want to see that for this team.
But remember, 2 years ago, if you asked Diamondbacks season ticket holders on September 2nd, would you want to buy playoff tickets? And they're going, are you kidding me? They were 70-67, had just lost 5 of 6.
Did they? To end the season?
And I mean, no, at not September 2nd.
Oh, September
2nd.
5 of 6.
You would have said, the Diamondbacks, dead, done, dusted. Yep. You are absolute toast. They ended up in the World Series.
Sure.
Lots changes between
I get it.
The start of September and the start of October. You can't make any
rash,
giant sweeping statements about your team right now. You just can't.
All right. I'm calling. I feel better.
We can talk, though, about what did go wrong in yesterday's game. There was plenty with our Padres crap up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame. It's a shame if they lose.
You got a problem. Problem.
Oh, a shame indeed.
I couldn't agree more.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
What the heck happened?
Are you kidding me?
Can't even believe it.
It's the Padres
crap up.
Presented by Hamul Casino. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort. The player's place.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
Second and third, one out, no score, second inning. A 3-2 hit hard on one hop through the right side. Cronenworth Gold couldn't get there. Beavers has scored. Carlson's on his way. And Basayo sliding feet first into second with a two-run double. 2-0 Baltimore here in the second. Cronenworth at second, Sheets at third, one out. Trailing 2-0. Pitch to Johnson, lined up the middle into center field and a base hit. Sheets will score. Cronenworth going to be held as Carlson's throw comes in towards the infield. But Bryce Johnson with another hit and an RBI single to get the Pods on the board. It's 2-1. Johnson will run the 3-2. And Arise knocks it into left field, down and a base hit. That'll tie the game. Cronenworth comes in to score. And it's 2-2 here in the second on Luis Arraez's second hit of the day. Jackson swings at the first pitch from Morejon, sends it in the air to deep center field. Johnson is back at the wall, and it's going to go. Long home run to center field for Jeremiah Jackson. Got it up onto the platform in front of the batter's eye, and the Orioles go ahead. It's 3-2. O'Hearn at first will be on the move. Vermeen is at third. The 3-2 hit on the ground through the left side and a base hit. Laureano gets the O's as Vermeen comes in to tie the game. It's 3-3. 2-2. The pitch to Beavers is lined over the head of Cronenworth into right field. Jackson is being waved. Here comes the throw from Laureano, and it is not in time. Just kind of bounced and rolled into Vermeen. They had a shot, but the Orioles go back ahead. It's 4-3. Padres down to their final strike. Here's the 2-2. Arraez swings and misses strike three. The ball game is over, and the Orioles hang on for a 4-3 win in game one of this series.
Prognosis early is not favorable. I mean, things can change, but it's a quad tendon rupture. That's pretty clear. And pretty serious. So, I mean, they'll do further testing, and I don't want to be too bleak, but it's not overly positive.
All right.
Oh, it's not Bill Belichick. That was pretty candid and forthcoming there about Jason Adams' quad tendon rupture. They'll get imaging to confirm it, but they're like 99.9% sure. He'll probably have surgery within the next couple of days and start a grueling rehab process that likely takes minimum 4 months, probably closer to 6 to to 8 months. So we're looking probably through spring training into the start of next season before Jason Adam is ready to return. And, you know, the Padres' big strength, the bullpen, takes a big hit yesterday by losing an all-star and one of the most key members of the back end of that pen.
And, you know, Schilt talked about it in the postgame, too, about what a leader he is, too, in the clubhouse. Now, he can still be that leader in the clubhouse, certainly. And I mean, could you have drawn up a better quote for Jason Adam after he realized his season was over, he's injured, he's done for the year, what he said to Schilty, and with kind of a laugh, you know, I'm sure glad you guys went out and got Mason Miller, and I'm excited to see what these guys can do. These guys are beastly. Best bullpen I've ever been a part of. Thinking about how good the others can be, even though he's out. I mean, he was outstanding this season. Outstanding. An all-star and much beloved in the clubhouse. So, look, just like with every team, no one that Xander Bogaerts is out, no one's going to feel bad for you that Jackson's coming back off an ankle. No one's going to feel bad for you that Tatis is banged up. No one's going to feel bad for you that Manny's banged up. You have to find a way to step up. This is the time. 50,000 people fill that stadium every single night. Do it for them. Do it for each other. Do it for Jason Adam. I actually yesterday thought when I'm watching him laying on the mound there, I go, we're winning this game. We got to rally around this guy who just gave his knee for this team and get a win. We didn't. And it really was frustrating to me. But I know it doesn't work that way. It's not football. I get it. But holy smokes, man. Like,
you can't keep putting yourself in position, though, where you have to rally at the end of a game.
Yeah.
You're falling behind too much. The problem with the Padres,
man,
right now is the bullpen is still a strength even without Jason Adam.
Correct.
Starting pitching is the issue for the Padres right now. And it's not like they're getting hammered. Every single start seems to be like yesterday's start for Dylan Cease. And it's not just Cease. It's Darvish. It's Cortez. Four innings, five hits, two runs. It doesn't sound awful,
right,
but it's not enough.
It's not enough.
From your starting pitching.
I went back on the roundtable last week that you said, what's your biggest concern? And mine was the Jekyll and Hyde of our starting pitching right now, where you just don't.
Really just
there's
Hyde.
No Jekyll.
There's no Jekyll.
There's flashes of it.
There used to be Jekyll.
Jekyll's dead.
Remember, the Padres, for most of the season, led Major League Baseball in shutout wins.
Right.
So they were getting six, seven from their starter,
mostly,
and then the bullpen.
But, yeah.
Mostly six, but hey, that's great. That means you're pitching pretty well if you lead the league in shutouts, correct? There's plenty of Jekyll. Mm-hmm. The Padres have not had a shutout win since July.
Ben, we haven't had a quality start in like a month or
the
something.
The Padres have not had a pitcher.
Like
they've
6 weeks.
They've had a couple against the Dodgers. They had six innings, one run against Pavetta. But you know the last time a Padres pitcher finished seven innings? August 1st. It's been over a month since, and that was Nick Pavetta, went seven innings. It's been over a month since a starter went seven. I'm not asking for complete game shutouts. I'm not even asking for eight. You've got to at least once a week, though, have a guy who throws seven, right? It's just not happening at all from the Padres starting pitching. By the way, could you ever guess which team now has the most shutout victories in Major League Baseball? The Tigers, I'll tell you, are now third, right behind the Padres. Team has passed the Padres for most shutouts. I was stunned.
Who is it?
It makes sense, but I was stunned. Pittsburgh Pirates have the most shutout wins in all of baseball. Thank you, Paul Skeens.
It's unbelievable.
But the Padres have not had one since the end of July.
Well, in fact, that's how we do it on this show. R.I.P. Dr. Jekyll. He is completely off the radar.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult.
So difficult.
So, shout out to his family.
Dr. Jeff.
The other issue
is dead.
Is obviously this team is not healthy. That you not only are Xander Bogaerts and Jackson Merrill out, forcing Jose Iglesias to play every day, even against right-handers, which he shouldn't be. He's not a productive hitter against right-handed pitching. Manny Machado is clearly not himself right now. Don't know what's going on. He's made some comments, you know. Dog day comments, you know, not feeling 100% like you always, you know, at this point in the season, you never are. But clearly you can see that Manny is worn down. And I don't know what it's going to take to get him locked in again. He usually does at some point get locked in, starts feeling better. But right now you're getting very little out of Manny.
The glove's not great.
Yeah.
The bat's not great.
You know,
the offense is not great. We'll talk about that, too. And obviously we're going to talk about what happened in the ninth inning. Ben, you were on the anchor desk.
I was.
I was at home spinning into a tornado. Just like, I have no idea what happened in the ninth yesterday. It's the most confused I've been watching the Padres this year.
A lot of fans were asking the question, like, what is Mike Shildt doing? We will talk about it coming up next here on 97.3 The Fan.